Could you have one prong at a time? That's easy for me to remember it. I think that's asking a little too much. the repression one, I don't, how should we put it this? I'm not terribly sympathetic with that point of view. But I wouldn't like to say there wasn't something of that kind happening. You could easily do. The question of schizophrenia, I think, is really too complex a question. I mean, all sorts of things could go wrong in schizophrenia. I would be happier if you could classify them into types which were, you know, disjoint, and we could sort of tackle one at a time. And the attentional one, though, I haven't got any ideas on. he questions me about my delusions, yes. No, I must tell you that as I get older, I do find it harder. I do find that I miss things, that I'm slower, and so on, and that I don't have as much mental vigor as I had when I was younger. I, of course, found, you know, I didn't go into biology at all till I was 31. I didn't know what an amino acid was when I was 30, for example. And I did find it an advantage going in at a slightly later age than the normal one, namely about 30, because you do have a more general point of view. So it's certainly true as you get older that you have a more general point of view. But alas, there is a catch to all that, that when you move, as I've done, from one subject to another at a late age, you may carry over inappropriate ideas. Now, there's a classic case of this of a very distinguished scientist called Sir Cyril Hinshelwood, who got a Nobel Prize for physical chemistry. He was president of the Royal Society. He was president of the Classical Association. He was a linguist. He knew Chinese and so on. And he went into biology, and he worked on the bacterial cell. And when I went in, he'd just written a book about it. And the book was written from the point of view of physical chemistry, and he didn't believe in genetics. He didn't even believe in genetics, although he had Sidney Brenner, if some of you know Sidney Brenner, as a graduate student, and it said that for 1 week, Sidney converted Hinch to a belief in genetics, and then he lapsed. But the point is, he'd used totally the wrong ideas in looking at the bacterial cell, and whole meetings had to be held, and in methods, replicating, if some of you know about, was invented to prove Hinshelwood was wrong. So I suppose there's some use in that. So I worry about myself occasionally. Am I carrying over? And when I give neurobiologist lectures, I try not to say, well, you know, in molecular biology, it was like this and such and so on. But that is the danger as you go older. When you change fields, you're not quite as alert. I myself believe that these problems are very difficult, and they're really suitable for younger men, younger people, I say. Excuse me. Younger people, because they come fresher to it and they have more vigor. That doesn't mean to say there isn't some role for someone like myself as a sort of gadfly and ask them why they're doing it and so on. But I don't have any special hopes. There is without precedent, I think, for anybody of my age to make a major new contribution. Yes. Do I have... Sure. 47 is all right. 47 is all right. Wait till you get to 68. But get on with it. Don't waste time. Any more questions, or have we exhausted the audience? I don't know. Oh, sorry, yes. Could you speak up?
You were talking, in all the things you talked today about learning and so on, long-term memory, you spoke only of strengthening of synaptic connections. You didn't mention at all actual dendritic sprouting, actual...
No, you're quite right. You're quite right. I should have said more on that, but you understand in the time scale, and this talk, I was really interested in immediate memory when we were talking at that level, and there really is no time for sprouting on that. But you're perfectly right that one should have said that, and also we now, the evidence suggests that dendrites may change, not only just the axons, but dendrites may change and so on. And of course, in the development of the nervous system, 40% of the neurons die, axons change, and so on. It was gross oversimplification just to talk in terms of synapses in general for memory, but I do think it's right to say it's structural, okay, and not something which requires neurons to be firing when you want something in a store, which is the point I was trying to make. Sorry? But I think, you see, if you were mentioning long-term memory, I don't think in long-term memory the continual firing of the neurons are needed, I would hope, to replenish that memory. And there are people, my old friend Bernie Davis thinks that's what happens in sleep, for example. So it is possible to hold a variant view. But most people surely would feel that if you can remember something that happened a year ago, it's something structural in your brain. And I should have said something also adjusting the level of the threshold in the neurons, and I could think of lots of other processes. But the point is that they're in some sense structural and not dynamic.
The other question, what do you find that
where do you think it would be?
Well, the location is something up close by door. It could be itinerant as being composed by some, in other words, a different assembly at different times. But I'm asking, in other words, is the only thing you find unsatisfactory that some is localized?
Yes. Of course, I've asked myself, is it localized? And I believe it's not it's possible everywhere. But it's difficult to point to one particular part of the brain. It does look as if the processes are distributed, that each little bit does something rather particular, and then the bits talk to each other. I mean, that's the broad model we have of the brain. You must be careful not being too much of a localist, because, of course, they also do talk to each other, just like a molecule, where the atoms are localized, but in the molecule, the electrons interact. So you have to think of it in those terms. I just happen to have this prejudice that it's like that. I don't know I could reasonably defend it in detail, but certainly I would ask somebody who thought it was highly localized, we surely can't be in the hippocampus, for example, because HM is supposed to, although it probably hasn't quite, lost much of that. And you can have an animal, you can certainly have a monkey in which you move the hippocampus bilaterally, and as far as you could tell by ordinary observation, it's conscious. I mean, you have to use your common sense at this stage, you can't be precise. Have you got any other place? It doesn't look like it's the frontal lobes, for example.
Well, I hadn't really thought of the problem of localization as an important problem, but just I can see that the hard to find things, right?
But you are right, you see, and I was suggesting it was localized where the higher level processes are going on. But I don't mean to say that you can't have some conscious effects in area 17, which is a low-level one. But I do think you could argue about whether it's at the lower levels and how low you go. So you are right, I think we would agree, that it is likely to be at the higher levels in some sense, and that's further into the system. But I don't think you can pin it down to one master organism, like the boardroom of a company, which is supposed to be controlling everything from there, for example. Yes, I do agree, but I didn't want to discuss the more complex operations of the brain and the sort of things you get in language and so on, where you certainly need a more elaborate description than I gave of the early workings of the visual system. But I would guess that even in that case, it's the immediate memory of what has happened there that is the key feature. Okay, and it doesn't have to be purely the PTP effect. It can be other effects like neurons continuing to fire, for example, and even possibly things going around in circuits. And there's a very interesting question you can ask about the topology of the brain. I won't go into it in detail. It looks, in first case, if this is connected to that, they're receptive reciprocally, so things you've got circuits. But it turns out the back connections are always different from the forward ones. So you can ask, if you were to take one type of connection in the visual system, they all go like this, but just at the time when they come round again. So you can actually formulate topological questions, but you have to be very discriminating in looking for something that might be relevant. Yes.
And I'm not quite the same speculator as you were, just didn't come up with the same model. And barring the, well, I'm sure that the disparity in the IQ.
Are you asking how people make successful speculations? If you ask me, there's a lot of luck in it. There is a view of how things operate, which was to say people have ideas at random and so on, and the lucky ones are the ones who are right, and they're thought to have some deep insight. And there's more in that than I like to be comfortable about.